Well, the last time I was here, it's been a while, but I believe it was the last time I was here. I was talking about when Jesus gave the parable of the shepherd and how his sheep hear his voice and the others, they do not follow. So I kind of want to follow up on that. It's been probably a year since that message, so if you don't remember, it's okay. You're not that old yet. It's just been a while. All right.
Memory loss.
Yeah. So I got my notes on here. I'm not browsing Facebook while I'm talking, just so you know. So the title of my message, when I was thinking about this, is "Who Are You Listening To?" You know, in our lives, we have three voices that we contend with: God, myself, and Satan, the demonic. We choose who we want to give our attention to. God gave us that free will, right? So what I said last time is, like Jesus even told us, you know, my sheep hear my voice, and the others they do not follow. He did not say, they only hear my voice. So that's a good thing. So if you're like, man, why won't these thoughts get out of my head? It's where we're at. You know, we're in a battlefield right now, right? And the devil has been judged, thrown out of heaven, and rendered powerless by God. We know that from the very beginning, right? So the devil holds no power over you. He is powerless. But we found out and we know from experience and in the Bible that he can do one thing, and he does it quite well. He can talk. Yeah. He lies. That goes along with talking. And he speaks all the time. And Jesus even told us, hey, you'll hear my voice. The others, you'll hear another voice. It's okay. It's okay if you hear other thoughts coming at. We know we're always under attack. Everyone is. So we know that he can speak, and it's started from the beginning of time. If you have your Bibles with you, if you want to go to Genesis 2, we're going old school, all the way back in the Old Testament. You know, Adam and Eve were created by God, placed in a garden. Basically, it is paradise. They were given free reign. They are hanging out with God all the time. It said God would come down in the cool of the evening and walk with them and talk with them and just hang out with them. Because that's what God has always wanted from the very beginning, is a relationship. He doesn't want someone just to bow down and do what he says. If he wanted that, he wouldn't have given us free will. We would have had our free will taken away from us or never given at all. And we would be made to just worship him constantly 24/7. But instead, he wants a relationship with you. He wants you to choose him, if that makes sense. And we see that all the way at the very beginning, where he put Adam and Eve in the garden and gave them a choice. He said, all this you can do, but there's one thing I want you not to do. And that's eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? Maybe some of us have heard this before. So he's like, this is all yours. I mean, he let Adam name all the animals. I mean, that's power right there. Talking about the power of the tongue. What you speak is what it is. That's what Adam did. I mean, Adam said, you're a monkey. And it was a monkey. Right? I mean, till this day, we're still... I mean, he probably didn't say monkey because English wasn't invented back then. But whatever he said is still there, right? So in Genesis 2, it's saying by the seventh day, and we're just going to go down and read this for a while, and I'll come back and touch on a few things. It says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. It says, and it goes on to say that he made all the shrubs and the trees, and he made man, and he gave man the ability to name all the animals. And then he said, you know what, it's not good for man to be alone. And I'm skipping down through and summarizing 3, because I actually realized I wanted chapter 2. So I'm trying to skip it without you knowing it, but that's okay. So we're going down through 2. And so he wants to give Adam a helper. So what's he do? He puts Adam in a sleep and takes a rib, and then now we have Eve, right? So Adam and Eve, and they got the whole garden. And in chapter 3, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He, the serpent, said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did not say, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." Then the serpent, "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to them, "Where are you?" He answered, which would be Adam, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And God said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate it." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock." And he goes on to say some other things to Adam and Eve. So what we have here is, we have a serpent who's talking to Eve. I guess animals can talk back then, because Eve wasn't like, "Oh my gosh, there's a snake talking to me." You know, I guess it was commonplace. So the serpent starts telling her, "Did God really say you're not supposed to eat it?" And what does Eve do? She answers back with what God said, right? That's a good point. You know, the devil, we know the devil's going to talk. That's the one thing he can do, and he does it very well, and he does it to everyone. And he'll continue to do it until the end. So when he starts to try to manipulate what God had said, Eve answers back with what he really did say. But then the serpent continues, right? I mean, just because she quoted what God had told her doesn't mean he was going to stop. He continues and says, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." So then, that's when she shifted. I think that's when she took her attention off of God, and maybe put it on herself, and then down to the serpent, and gave him the attention, and was like, "You know what? You're right. This does look like some pretty cool fruit. Huh. I probably won't die. Then I'll know, I'll have wisdom, and I'll know good from evil." And that's what happens. So they both ate, you know, and it says Adam was with her. So Adam had the chance to say, "Hey, no, you know what? We shouldn't do that." But again, Adam's attention was shifted as well. They both were now giving the serpent their attention. That's who they were listening to. So they eat the fruit, and now, oh my gosh, we know good and evil. What are we doing? Whoa, let's get some fig leaves, right? So then they hear God coming. It says, "Then man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day." That means that he's done it before, right? That's right. It says that they heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. If God had never walked in the garden, they wouldn't know what that was. They'd be like, "Oh my gosh, what is that?" That means that God has been there all the time walking with them. In more than one occasion, because that's what he wants. He wants to be with us. That's all he wants to do, is have a relationship. And this one, when I first started reading it, I'm like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. Why is God asking them questions? Doesn't God know everything? So why would God be asking Adam and Eve a question? You know he knows everything. So I started praying about that, and you know, God always wants a relationship with us. And when we don't have that, he's always striving to put us back into a relationship with him. So when he's coming up and he's asking them the questions, he's trying to put them in a position in order to ask for forgiveness. You know, the first thing, what do they do? What everyone does, shift blame, right? Well, she made me do it. Hey, he made me do it. Right? But once you get past that, Then they can say, oh, you know what? We did. We messed up. And then that's where we can get put into a position of repentance and have a correct relationship with God. So, this might be a touchy subject, but like one that sometimes brings up fear, and it shouldn't. And that's demon possession. Whoa, this is a Sunday. What are you doing? What are you talking about? This is your one time of the year. Why are you talking about demon possession? But that was one thing that was very confusing to me. And one thing I know a lot of people have questions about is, you know, can a Christian be possessed by a demon? Well, then I got to looking, and I started thinking about it, and can anyone be possessed by a demon? A demon is from Satan. Can Satan own anything? Well, okay, what does the Bible say? Okay, I think it's John 10:10. You know, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So Satan steals, so he's a thief. So he doesn't own anything. He just steals things. It's not his. So when I started looking into more of it and hearing a few other people and their points, you know, the unfortunate thing is our English language, you know, the Bible wasn't written in English, right? So everything that's in the Bible that we can read today has been translated from other words. So when the word possession was translated, it actually means influence. Now when you think about it, it's like, oh, okay. Demon possession is more like demon. Can someone be influenced by someone else or something else? And we all know, yeah. Whoever you give your attention to is who you're going to be influenced by. Can I be influenced by the Browns? Yeah, unfortunately, I could be influenced by the Cleveland Browns and the Cavs when they lose. Or, you know, if I have a favorite author and I read them all the time, I could be influenced by that. I can be influenced by the music I listen to, all the different movies I watch. That's what you can actually be influenced by. So can a Christian be possessed by a demon? No. Can they be influenced by it? Well, of course. I mean, honestly, if you look at it, Adam and Eve were influenced by the devil, serpent. And look what happened. They fell. And we've seen this from the beginning of time. So we know that we can be influenced by pretty much anything. And it's who we give our attention to. And when I'm thinking about this, and God gave me an illustration a week or so ago, as I'm talking to him and praying with him. So this subject that I'm talking about is something that we all can relate to, because it's something that happens to all of us, including me. So when I'm talking to God, I'm trying to figure out, he was trying to shift my attention to the correct perspective. And he gave me an illustration of Walmart. Okay? So Bob owns Walmart. He's the owner of Coshocton Walmart, and he needs to hire a store manager. And here I come along. Hey, Brian, I like your resume. You've got a good thing going. I want you to run my store. Oh, okay. Sweet, thanks. So then here I go. I'm the store manager of Walmart, and I'm getting things set up, and I'm doing really well. And Bob's always coming to me saying, hey, I like the way you did this. You did a good job here. I like the way you're managing my store. Awesome, thanks. Bob's always come to me and telling me, hey, you did right there. You're doing great. Good job. But my employees, you know how employees are, right? Yeah. And no matter if I'm the best boss or not, my employees don't like me. They might make up lies about me and say, oh, he just can't be, we can't work with him at all. Or he doesn't pay us enough. Or, you know, we need to get this guy out of here. Most of the time, employees just don't like their boss, whoever it is, right? So then I start hearing my employees grumble, oh, they don't like me. What can I do? Oh my gosh, maybe I am terrible at my job. Maybe I should just leave. Can my employees fire me if I'm the manager? No. Can employees fire their boss? No. Who can fire me? The store owner, right? The one who put me here. So who should I be listening to? My employees that work for me? That are basically below me, or the person above me, the person that put me in my position? Yeah, the same thing. You know, when we get caught up in the wrong audience, we start listening to people that are not necessarily people, but things or whatever below us. Then we start shifting our perspective and giving someone else our attention that we shouldn't. You know, God put us in our position. God puts everyone in their position. So if God has put me on this earth, he's the only one that can take me away. So if, whether it be demonic forces of Satan below me, or people on the same level, other people coming up to me and saying to me, it does not matter what people say about me. It doesn't even matter what I say about myself. Because I'm in this equation too, right? Maybe I want to, maybe things start, my wheels start turning and I start saying things about myself. It doesn't matter what I say about myself either. The only thing that matters is what God says about me. Because he's the one that put me here. He's my quote unquote boss. Right? So if we know that God is the one that put us here, and that he says all these different things about us, then maybe we should shift our focus on who actually can, well, who has our best for us. You know, and the funny thing is, you know, our day goes by and we don't even realize all the things that we're doing and all the things that are happening to us. It's so critical that we actually capture any thought that we're thinking about on a Sunday morning, or maybe it was Tuesday night, or maybe the Bible actually says, hold every thought captive. That's how critical it is. It's every thought. It's not just the big decisions. Oh, should I buy a car today? Oh, I better think about that one. Or should I go to all my plans on Friday night? No, it's every single thought. It says it in 2 Corinthians. It says, hold every thought captive. That's how much it means. Every single thought. So if we're supposed to be listening to God, who is, quote unquote, our boss, the one above us and put us in power, then how do we know who to listen to, or what he sounds like? We got to hang out with him some, right? If I never hang out with Bob, I'll never know what he sounds like. You know, my son. If I never have a relationship with my son and I never hang out with him, I never tell him anything, he'll never know not necessarily what I've said, but even how my train of thought goes. I've said it. I've hung out with my son enough to where when he's not even with me, he knows what I would say, right? I'm sure we know that about our father. I know how about my father. If I have a decision to make, I know what how my father would respond to me, or what the decision that he would make just by hanging out with him. That's the same thing. We've got a holy Bible here that's been passed down from generation to generation from the beginning that tells us the exact heartbeat of God, what he's thinking, how he processes things, and what his ultimate goal is. Another time is just hanging out with him in prayer, right? And one another. You know, if you're struggling with something, that's why it's good to come to the pastor and say, hey, what about this? Because he can remind us and help us remind us about Scripture. We see that Jesus was actually fighting Satan at one time, right? Not necessarily a fight, but he was dealing with Satan at one time. It was when it was after he got baptized and he was put into the wilderness. I'm trying to find it here in my notes. Okay, Luke 4. And we'll just skip down through, because a lot of you already know about this, but you know, Jesus just got baptized and the Holy Spirit descended on him, and then he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And then he was tempted, which is the same thing as saying trying to be influenced by the devil, right? And it goes on to say, this is Luke 4, and I'm going to skip down. Well, it's just basically the start of the chapter. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell us the stone to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. Hi. Then the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I'll give you all authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the devil didn't stop there, right? He tried one more time. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all tempting, he left him until an opportune time. So we see that even Jesus was tempted. And how did Jesus respond? He quoted scripture back to the devil. But the devil, he knows what scripture is. He even quotes it to Jesus, right? He tries to manipulate the meaning and what the scripture actually meant in order to gain influence over Jesus. It's the same thing that he did with Adam and Eve. He used what God said, changed it, twisted it just a little bit, and comes at him, right? But Jesus, obviously, he's smarter than that. He knows who he is and who his Father is, right? You know, the one thing that we need to do is put ourselves in a position to just be influenced by God. You know, one thing, you know, all these movies in Hollywood, you see them all the time. I can't even hardly watch the previews of all these, I don't know, demon movies, and like they scare the crap out of me, right? I'm watching it. If it's nighttime, I got to turn the light on because I'm like, what the heck is that? So Hollywood is all concerned with all this, but what happens when someone is influenced by God to that level? When we surrender ourselves and let God influence that way, we get a picture that looks like Jesus, right? And even greater than the things. Jesus said, you'll do even greater things than I've done. All we have to do is say yes. It does not matter how smart you are, how strong you are, how old you, or how young you are. It does not matter. All God wants is a yes. He gave us free will. That's the one thing that he will never do is violate that free will. He needs you to say yes. That's all. If you say yes, then he will use you. He will give you, we see it in the Bible, he will give you everything that you need. So who does God say that you are? These are all scripture, and I've got the scriptures written down, but I'm just going to go through them kind of quick so we can't turn to all of them. Otherwise, we'll be flipping everywhere, and pages will be flying, Bibles will be laying on the floor. So who does God say that I am? I am a child of God. I am a friend of Jesus. I have been justified and redeemed. My old self is crucified with Christ, and I am no longer a slave to sin. I have been set free from the law of sin and death. I have been accepted by Christ. In Christ Jesus, I have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in me. I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I am chosen, holy, and blameless before God. I am God's workmanship, created to produce good works. God supplies all my needs. I have been made complete in Christ. God loves me and has chosen me. And many, many more. Those are just a few ones that I found real quick in the Bible. That's what he says about us. That's who we are. So if something comes against any of those things, then it's not right. Whether you say it, or your friend says it, or the devil is trying to convince you about it, it does not matter. Jesus calls you friend. He says, I no longer call you servant, I call you friend. So that's the one point I wanted to bring up today, is who are you listening to? Who am I listening to? It's every thought captive. If something comes into our brain and we're like, whoa, does that make sense? Let me check the Bible. God, is this right? That's how critical it is. And if you have those thoughts, the one way to combat it is scripture. And two is joy. In the army, we are always made a term, fake it till you make it, right? That's what I lived on. I fake it till you make it. If I don't know how to do it, I'm just going to fake it till it works, right? Well, one thing I've thought of was, if I'm believing a lie, and I have to fake myself to believe the truth is the truth. So if I'm faking myself with the truth, then I need to do it until I come in alignment with that truth. I know it's kind of confusing, but if I'm believing and I'm sad, or I don't think that I'm worth anything, I need to remind myself, even if I don't feel like it, that I am chosen. God chose me. God came to this earth to sacrifice himself. Jesus was in heaven. From the beginning of time, we see that. He was in heaven. Jesus chose to come down on earth and go through the cross. all that, everything for you. He chose you. You're chosen. So even if you feel like nobody wants you or you're lower than dirt, you need to remind yourself like that, even if you don't feel like it. You need to fake it till you make it. Remind yourself of the truth. Not, and it sounds contradictory, but what I'm trying to say is you have to remind yourself of the truth at all times, no matter if you feel like it's the truth or not. All right. Let's pray real quick. Lord, I thank you for allowing me to come and speak with everyone. I thank you for sending your son. For it is through him that we are even here today. Lord, I just ask right now that you whisper to everyone just what you think of them, what they mean to you. Lord, I thank you for telling us that there's always going to be more than one voice. You're not the only one that speaks, but you're the one that we should give our attention to. Lord, I just ask you to start to highlight some things maybe someone has said or some things that we've said about ourselves that aren't true. Remind us of who we are. Allow us to come into alignment with what you say we are. Lord, bring to our mind when we hear someone say something that isn't true, the way we can tell them just about your love and how what really is true and how much you love each one of us. Lord, ask for protection over each one of us as we travel throughout this week. Amen.